This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
In business, how big is too big? From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Two separate court battles kick off today around one question in two very different industries. How big is too big? The Justice Department is trying to block a pair of mergers. In one case, the same company that owns the nation's largest insurance firm, United Health Group, wants to buy a healthcare data company. The other case is in publishing. One of the world's largest publishers, Penguin Random House, wants to buy Simon & Schuster. And in that case, the Biden administration is making some novel antitrust arguments. Marketplace's Lily Jamali has more.
The push to block Penguin Random House's merger with Simon & Schuster is standard fodder for the Justice Department, no matter who's in the White House, says George Hay of Cornell Law.
That's not an exotic case or a case that's really out there on the frontiers of antitrust. That's fairly straightforward.
Two giants joining up in the same, already consolidated industry. The usual argument against that would be that it results in higher prices for consumers. But NYU Law's Eleanor Fox says this Justice Department is making a different, cutting-edge argument that a merger could hurt authors, resulting in one less possible bidder for their work, limiting how much they can make.
It might mean that we'll have fewer choices of who writes the books on our shelves.
Fox says it's one example of the Biden administration's more aggressive stance towards antitrust enforcement.
It believes that the country has been too lax in letting industries consolidate.
And she says Biden's DOJ is going a lot farther than its predecessors did to push back. I'm Lily Jamali for Marketplace.
All right, let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.4%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the 1-2% range, with the Dow future down 25 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 2.666%. Water is becoming an increasingly scarce resource in spots around the globe. The world's consumption of water has been growing at more than double the rate of population growth over the last century, according to the UN. Right here at home, California is still grappling with a historic drought. The biggest users of water, globally speaking, aren't individuals. They aren't governments. They are companies, including agriculture. Jason Morrison is president of the Pacific Institute, a nonprofit, nonpartisan think tank that researches solutions to water-related issues. He's also head of the CEO Water Mandate, a partnership including 200 companies to promote water resilience. Morrison spoke with my colleague, David Brancaccio.
All this stuff is here in front of us, but it's also around the world. And you work toward water security. What does water security look like?
Well, there's many dimensions to it. It's not just the physical availability of water when it's needed. It also has the linkage to water quality and the ability to manage against too much water.
So tell me about the effort with all these companies, hundreds, many of them very large, not all of them. What are they pledging to do?
The Water Resilience Coalition started as a CEO-led initiative with a common goal to accelerate progress against the global water crisis. You may recall that the UN has set 2030 goals for a range of sustainable development issues. The goal on water is SDG 6. And just last year, the UN released a report that showed that for a number of the targets underpinning SDG 6, we need to quadruple our pace to get there.
So they're pulling in this direction. What is the metric, though, Mr. Morrison? I mean, it's not just, okay, my factory is going to use 800,000 gallons of water a day. I got to find 800,000 gallons a day for the community. It's not just volume, right?
That's right. The cornerstone of the commitment made by member companies of the Water Resilience Coalition orients around the concept of net positive water impact. And the way that we're defining this, importantly, is not just about those water volumes. It's also about water qualities and also about access to water for the poor.
Now, it's a voluntary effort, which I guess would depend on the earnestness of the companies making the pledges. And I know from my own reporting, that means you need senior leadership of these firms to buy into pledges like this.
Absolutely. We have been managing a corporate water stewardship initiative called the CEO Water Mandate, and we launched in 2007. It's housed within the UN Global Compact. And having CEO in the name of the initiative is really important because many of the commitments that companies make around water don't fall in areas that are regulated through our public policy systems.
Some of these companies realize that it's not just a nice thing to do to address these water issues, that the company might not be able to do its business, might not exist if they don't deal with the water issues.
Absolutely. Most companies today are already facing water-related risk, whether it's in their direct operations or in their supply chain or even the markets where they're trying to sell their products and services. Altruism is not what's motivating behavior. You don't have to convince a food and beverage company like Coca-Cola or Danone or an agribiz company like Cargill that water and climate present a real risk to the business if it's not proactively managed. That's well understood all the way to the top of the organization. And that's why it's not hard for us in the Water Resilience Coalition to get CEOs to make this commitment and to invest in ways that are proportional to the scope of the risk that they know they face.
Jason Morrison, president of the Pacific Institute, also head of the CEO Water Mandate, a partnership between hundreds of companies, the Pacific Institute and the UN. Mr. Morrison, thank you for the time.
Thank you.
A ship full of grain left Ukraine today, headed for Lebanon. It's part of a deal to ease food shortages caused by Russia's invasion of Ukraine. TBD if this starts to bring down food prices. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.